Good morning. It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this Reformation Sunday. That's why the liturgical color is red today. Reformation Sunday is the celebration of the beginning of the Protestant Church as it separated from the Roman Catholic Church. So it's good to have you here today as we do gather for worship on this last Sunday of October. If you are visiting here, we extend a special welcome to you. And if it is your first time here, we invite you to fill a welcome card out that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you place the card in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, just calling your attention to it. Do want to point out that first announcement underneath the schedule that next weekend, daylight saving time ends, and so you do want to set your clocks back 1 hour. Otherwise, you'll be an hour early for church next week. So we do go back to standard time next Sunday. And just encouraging you to read the other announcements that are there. Also, in addition to those that are listed there, the Judson women will be having their toy harvest celebration on Saturday, November 12th, from 9 to noon at the First Baptist Church in Salem. And if you have more information, there will be a poster on the bulletin board. You may speak to Marilyn Glover. Also, there is a full-color insert in the bulletin today about the World Mission Offering. We've been learning about the World Mission Offering and promoting it all month. And we will be watching a video, two video segments again today. And I am pleased to report that we have received $610 towards our goal of $800. So we're only $190 to go towards our goal. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that in a few moments. At this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 28 for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively from Psalm 103 as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Come, let us praise the Lord with our inmost being. Let us not forget all of his benefits. He heals all our diseases. He satisfies our desires with good things. Our opening hymn this morning is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, number 30 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, you are our fortress and our strength. When we feel pushed and pulled, tossed and turned, you are an anchor for us. In these moments of worship, receive our praise and our gratitude. Send your Spirit now to comfort, counsel, and encourage us. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, this is the last Sunday that we will be promoting the World Mission Offering, but we do have two more videos that we're going to be watching today, talking about mostly about Cuba, which we've been focusing on.
God is doing great and surprising things in Cuba today. In the past 25 years, the number of Baptist churches has grown 450%. Baptisms have risen 530%. The number of pastors has nearly tripled. Total church membership has climbed over 400%. What's fueling this amazing growth? How did this spiritual awakening come about?
Porque allí envía Jehová bendición y vida eterna. Sabemos que dice la palabra que donde están reunidos uno.
Let's look at how far the church has come since the Cuban Revolution in 1959.
El país hace 55 años atrás abrazó la visión socialista y procuró desterrar a Dios, la Biblia y la iglesia del país. La historia reciente nos cuenta cómo misiones y congregaciones, el trabajo social de la iglesia fue cerrado, cómo pastores y líderes fueron llevados a campos de trabajo, cómo muchos jóvenes no pudieron estudiar las carreras que deseaban por confesar su fe. Y esto provocó esencialmente que la iglesia disminuyera de número o en números, que también disminuyera su influencia social o su impacto en la sociedad. Pero también provocó que la iglesia madurara y los que quedamos en los templos y en el liderazgo en aquellos tiempos, pues tuvieran un convencimiento de su fe en Jesucristo. En otras palabras, fue tiempo de purificación, fue tiempo de vivir un cristianismo un poco... digamos al primer siglo, porque en medio de las dificultades y de las persecuciones, las iglesias éramos pequeñas, pero éramos como familias. Y eso preparó la iglesia para los tiempos de hoy.
Thirty long years later, in 1991, the fall of the Soviet Union devastated the Cuban economy. It ushered in an era called the Special Period, a time of severe economic hardship that affected the entire nation.
El cubano comenzó a preguntarse, ¿y ahora qué? Bueno, ahora es el tiempo de que la iglesia comenzó a reavivarse y a responder las grandes preguntas que el cubano de a pie se hacía en aquellos años.
So people started to flock back to the churches, especially to house churches, which the government agreed to allow. The house churches flourished, in spite of stringent government restrictions that had been put in place. Discipleship, helping individuals and communities grow in their knowledge of and their commitment to Christ, is crucial to revitalizing churches. Cell groups of prayer are one vital means of providing discipleship. As Scripture is proclaimed, testimonies are shared, and relationships are fostered.
Gracias por la gran bendición.
Christian education is also a priority, with many churches using a more interactive form of education pioneered in Cuba in 1996 by International Ministries missionaries Sue Hagerty and Ruth Mooney. These women, the first Baptist missionaries allowed in Cuba since the revolution, led a seminary writing team that created a more participatory form of Christian education, something that was new to Cuba's churches. Their team's approach has since become an integral part of the growth of the churches and is especially effective among youth and young adults. One of the team members is Reverend Lester Acosta, who explains why this style of teaching has made such a difference. With the unprecedented growth of the churches in Cuba, leadership training is a vital need. The Baptist Theological Seminary outside of Santiago de Cuba has played an important part in meeting this need. Many pastors teach there on a volunteer basis, and accepted students receive a vigorous education free of charge, with the provision that they serve for 3 years at a church to which they are appointed. What's more, dozens of convention-wide Bible centers managed by lay leaders are now teaching hundreds of students and providing leadership to the growing number of mission churches and cell groups. And with your support of the World Mission Offering and annual pastors' conferences led each November by Puerto Rico-based mission churches, hundreds of leaders have received valuable training and personal support at these conferences. They have also been supplied with books, lesson plans, commentaries, and other vital resources to help them minister to their churches. One of the biggest stories in Cuba's Baptist churches is the tremendous growth in the number of youth and young adults being reached. Camp ministries are reaching both believers and non-believers, with 90% of non-believers coming to faith in Christ. Annual youth congress events reach as many as 1,200 youth for a time of teaching and encouragement, plus lively music, art, and theater. And churches are placing considerable emphasis on youth ministry through worship, evangelism, and leadership development. The growth of the Baptist churches in Cuba is remarkable. While the congregations may be economically poor, they are spiritually rich. That's why International Ministries has formed a Cuba team of global servants and special assistants who will connect on a regular basis with IAM's partners in Cuba in such areas as spiritual discernment training, theological education, healing arts, evangelism and discipleship, and short-term team resources. Pray for these IAM workers as they encourage Cuba's spiritual awakening. Pray for the people of Cuba to come to Christ, grow in their relationship with God, and change their worlds through the power of the Holy Spirit. Your support is helping IAM's global workers and partners to have a lasting impact in Cuba. That's just one of more than 70 countries around the world in which International Ministries is helping to make a difference. So give generously to the World Mission Offering this year. Not only will you support the work of our partners in Cuba, but you will be inspired and changed by what Baptists are doing worldwide as together we celebrate new life in Christ.
God, we pray for the people of Cuba, for each of its provinces, for every one of its inhabitants, so that they remain a strong and determined people to build a society that can live with dignity and hope. Especially, we pray for the Christians in Cuba that have prevailed firm in their faith despite the years when they did not have the freedom to declare their love for you, so that they can continue demonstrating the love they have for you and continue giving testimony of your grace and power in their own country and worldwide. Let them recognize the goodness, innocence, strength, and enthusiasm that exists in the hearts of their youth who so fervently adore you, that they, like us, can keep a young heart, always ready to learn and to change when we recognize the mistakes we have made as nations throughout history. Let us be strong together to build a world full of love and compassion, hope and promise. May goodness and goodwill prevail. May we learn to remain humble, with open hearts and willing minds, to work for peace and justice, and to exhort each other with kindness. God, when we pray for the people of Cuba, we also pray for those of us who have learned to love them and want to continue to learn the fervor and loyalty of the Cuban Christian people, to collaborate with them, and make our own the prayer of Jesus in our lives. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As I mentioned earlier, we have received $610 towards our goal of $800 for our World Mission Offering. If you've given a gift and would like to give more, or if you've not taken the opportunity and would like to give a gift to the World Mission Offering to support our world mission, our work of sharing the gospel around this world, not just in Cuba, not just in the Dominican Republic, but in over 70 countries around the world, then there are envelopes in the pews if you'd like to use those. We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another before we go to prayer. And we want to keep Irene Hoffman in prayer. Irene's having surgery on her back tomorrow afternoon. So I want to keep Irene in prayer and the medical team that will be caring for her, and just pray for relief of pain that she's been having. So we want to keep her in prayer. Also, David's still doing okay. David Tolstoy's doing okay. So he's just having some tests and seeing where he is and how treatment's been. And we want to keep both you and David in prayer. We want to continue to keep May Upperman in prayer as she continues at home. She has set up a routine that she's able to get some nourishment. So the doctors are satisfied at this point that she's getting adequate nutrition. But we want to keep May in prayer. We also want to keep our nation in prayer as we have begun the electoral process. And even in Massachusetts, we've had the beginning of early voting. And just we want to pray for the next 10 days, I guess it is, what takes place, and just the future of our country. Just lift that up to God today as well. Do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns? Going to chemo. Yep. Diane and Diane's sister and Delphine's daughter Beth is still undergoing chemo, so we want to keep her in prayer as she goes that treatment. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we come on this autumn morning, recognizing the changing of seasons that we are experiencing in nature. Warmth to cooler, dry periods to wetter and windy. But Lord, as the weather changes, we are reminded that you are a constant in our lives, and we thank you for that, that you do not change as the winds change, that you can be our anchor, bedrock for us. We thank you for that, because at times we feel like our world may be shifting around us. We may even feel like we're being swallowed by waves. Lord, we thank you that we could reach out and grab onto you and know that you are there for us. And we thank you for that. Lord, as we come this day, we remember those who are ill and undergoing treatments, procedures and surgeries and undergoing rehabilitation. We pray especially for Irene right now, as she'll be having surgery tomorrow. And Lord, we do pray that surgery will be successful, and that there will be less pain. We thank you for the wisdom and the skill that many people have in the medical field that are able to care for us when our bodies are injured or ill, and we thank you for that. Lord, this day we do pray for our nation. Every day seems to have more outlandish news about our presidential campaigns. Lord, we just pray continually that we may have wisdom as we fill out our ballots, that we may make the best choices that there are for our nation. Lord, we pray that there may be peace through this process and afterwards, that there may be a changing of power and transition of power to whomever is selected, and it may be a peaceful time. Lord, we just thank you for the democracy that we enjoy in this nation. We recognize those who have fought and defended it over the centuries. Lord, we just are grateful for those that are working today protecting us and defending our freedoms that we enjoy. We pray for those. And we pray, Lord, for those who are in harm's way today, whether it's overseas in a war or domestically overseas, or whether it's here at home and they people living in a dangerous situation, whether it's through human trafficking, whether it is violence in the home, whether it's gangs in the community, where we just pray that there may be peace around the world, pray that differences may be settled peacefully without violence. Lord, we also lift up Cuba, as we've been focusing on this month, and the people of Cuba, and the exciting news that we see of Christianity coming again to that nation after it had been repressed for so long. As one of the videos mentioned, it's like the New Testament church, oh God. It's fresh and new, and we pray that your Spirit will continue to move among the people of Cuba, but not just there, but also around our world, especially here in the United States and here in New England, God. We pray for a refreshing spirit to be in our churches and in our communities, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Lord, we lift all of these prayers to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen. We've been blessed in so many ways. We have an opportunity now to tangibly say thank you to God by offering our tithes and our gifts and our gifts to the World Mission Offering. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering.
A song of praise, a gift of love.
pray. Dear God, we give thanks for the opportunity we've had during these past weeks to join together in celebrating new life in Christ worldwide. We are grateful that among those whom you use to bring that new life are American Baptist International Ministries, Global Workers, and their partner organizations with which they serve. In addition to our morning offering, we dedicate to you our World Mission offering today, which supports their efforts in more than 70 countries around the world, in places as close as Cuba and as far away as Asia, praying as your Son taught us, that your will be done on earth as in heaven. Amen. Parker Freeman will be reading the scripture today.
Romans 14. Hear these words. As for the man who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not for disputes over opinions. One believes he may eat anything, while the weak man eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who abstains, and let not him who abstains pass judgment on him who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the master is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day as better than another, while another man esteems all days alike. Let everyone be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. He also who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While he who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So each of us shall give account of himself to God.
Thank you, Doreen. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard this morning these words from the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome, ancient words written to an ancient church, yet words that have fresh meaning for us today. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to your message for us today, O God, that may help us in our daily living, help us in our discipleship and following of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Are we all created equal? According to the Declaration of Independence, the Massachusetts Constitution, President Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, we are. These documents promote the belief that we have equal rights, but not that we are cookie-cutter copies of each other with the same body build, interests, or skill level. In fact, many of us have a competitive spirit with one another. Have you ever thought that you were stronger or could do something better, easier, or quicker than someone else? 20th century American songwriter Irving Berlin personified this attitude in his 1946 Broadway musical, Annie Get Your Gun. In the climactic sharpshooting scene, Annie Oakley engages in a one-upmanship boasting match with her competitor, Frank Butler. The song Anything You Can Do is a spirited duet between Annie and Frank, attempting to outdo each other in increasingly complex tasks. Its most memorable lines are, anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. How we like to compete with one another. There is one contest, however, that demonstrates just how unequal all of us are and how impossible some competitions are to win. For some of us, the Battle of the Bulge is an ongoing war. But to every 10 people subsisting on salads and fat-free dressings and diet sodas, there's that one person munching on cheeseburgers and fries with Twinkies for dessert, while looking as slim and fit as a professional model or athlete. Genes just don't play fair. For some people, every calorie consumed seems to add weight, while for others, entire cheesecakes are burned up through the mere act of breathing. But people eat no red meat, no fatty goodies, give up old-fashioned farmhand breakfast forever in an attempt to get their cholesterol levels below 200. Others can spend their free time cooking and consuming gourmet delights, swimming in real cream and butter, using lard and bacon as everyday condiments, all the while enjoying serum cholesterol counts somewhere around 115. The Apostle Paul was correct. Some people can eat anything and it won't harm them, while for others, food presents a clear and present danger to their very existence. Everything some of us can do, others of us cannot do, much less do better. Flying in the face of our American can-do spirit is the truth that we are not all created equal on every level. Assuming that we can do everything, that we have no limits or boundaries, buys nothing but trouble for us. We see this illustrated in the Old Testament account of the Egyptian army that is in hot pursuit of the fleeing Israelites under the leadership of Moses in Exodus 14, convinced that they could do anything that a straggly band of escaping slaves could do. Pharaoh's army plunged headlong into the muddy path miraculously carved through the Red Sea. Halfway through, their limitations were graphically illustrated. The sea caved in on the troops, drowning Pharaoh's army, entire army. Everything you can do, I can do better, is not a Christian attitude. It not only fosters an unresolvable competitive spirit, but it also promotes a kind of unexamined uniformity. When everyone is busy trying to be just like his or her neighbor, only, of course, a little bit better, the diversity necessary for the vital community is lost. Paul's admonition to the Romans is not just that it's all right for a variety of interpretations of Christian life to exist, but in order to remain true to one's own faith convictions, these differences must continue to exist. It adds flavor and vibrancy to the church. How often do we celebrate our diversity? And how often do we promote our unity? People in the city of Malden, government and religious leaders, educators and interested citizens are discussing that right now. What started in July with a prayer vigil to celebrate our community in unity has moved into three professionally moderated forums where people from all walks of life have come together to openly discuss our diversity and seek ways to work toward more unity. And the process is planned to continue after these three forums. But moving from society to Christianity. If we look at the Christian church in general and our congregation in particular, we may find ways in which we can improve in both our diversity and our unity. Ever since the Reformation and the birth of the Protestant church, the worldwide church has found it easier to create new congregations and new denominations rather than to tolerate genuine diversity within its ranks. The list of divisive topics that have given rise to new groups runs the gamut. Early Reformation schisms were usually based on scholarly theological disputes over lofty points of interpretation, points that often were incomprehensible to the uneducated parishioners in the pews. Later divisions tended to be based on cultural, political, or behavioral differences. Some reasons seem profound, such as congregational commitments first to freedom in the 1860s, then to the civil rights in the 1960s for African Americans. But some other disagreements that have wrenched congregations and denominations apart include card playing, jewelry wearing, dancing, drinking, movie going, and TV watching. Would Paul have felt that these reasons justified pulling apart the body of Christ? What about some of the really hot-button topics that start or stop conversations today, such as abortion, gay rights, economic vitality versus environmental health, women's ordination, or married clergy, evolution versus creation. Does Paul's advice call us to find a place for a multiplicity of Christian convictions on these issues? Or are there some simply inarguable points of truth? Paul does seem to have his bottom line, but it is hardly one that would bring any of us much satisfaction when arguing for our particular point of view on one of these issues. What Paul instructs is that all believers be united by Christ's death and resurrection. Accepting Christ's lordship is Paul's indisputable starting point. With the simple confession of a God-breathed, Christ-centered, Spirit-driven life, we are all welcome into God's household, and we all share in the same humble rank as slaves or servants in that household. Honest, convicted differences are bound to exist within any body of Christ, but accepting them, not expunging them, is the helpful attitude that Paul encourages. The church has shown a measure of intolerance over its lifetime, yet education and inquiry have always been a significant part of the church's tradition. During the so-called Dark Ages, between 475 and 1000 of the European culture, the church was often the only sanctuary for ideas and ideologies. The early church also seemed to have enough confidence in its convictions to banish fears of foreign ideas. Gregory Thaumaturgus, a student of the great early church leader Origen, recalled the training method of his master with these words: "No subject was forbidden us, nothing hidden or inaccessible. We were allowed to become acquainted with every doctrine, barbarian or Greek, with things spiritual and secular, divine and human, traversing with all confidence and investigating the whole circuit of knowledge, and satisfying ourselves with full enjoyment of all pleasure of the soul." Paul writes about those who are weak. Who are those who are weak in the Christian church today? What about within our own congregation? Undoubtedly, the answer depends on who is doing the asking. As such, this puts the burden on all members of Christ's body, community, all of us who perceive themselves as their convictions as strong, to consider with compassion the sensitivities of their brothers and sisters in faith. As long as we are sure that the other person's commitment is flamed by the genuine love and devotion for Christ, Paul's words encourage us to strengthen our community through a sense of interdependence and acceptance. Instead of proclaiming, "Everything you can do, I can do better," and focusing on our differences, let's look for and celebrate our common shared beliefs. A good place to start is with the central message of the good news of Jesus Christ, which is summed up in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." In his book 3:16, The Numbers of Hope, best-selling inspirational author and speaker and senior minister at Oak Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas, Max Lucado, invites Christians worldwide to unite around the central message of our faith. The publishers of this book write, "This is a 26-word parade of hope, beginning with God, ending with life, and urging us to do the same. Brief enough to write on a napkin or memorize in a moment, yet solid enough to weather 2,000 years of storms and questions. The message can be summed up this way: God loves, God gave, We believe, we live. May this be our focus as we encounter other believers and together share the gospel to those who have not yet received Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Lord, at times we do find ourselves being in a competitive mode, feeling that we are better than others. Forgive us, God, when we feel that way. Remind us that we are all equal in your eyes, that we are your children. Remind us again, too, of your love and your generous giving to us, that we might believe and then we might live eternally. Lord, we thank you for the church. Thank you for the message that is offered. Lord, we pray that we, as servants of this body of Christ, may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, locally as well as globally, that others may come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen. Gathered together as God's family, and now we leave this place knowing that the bonds of holy love keep us bound together. May Christ's love for us and all the world flow through the way we live, so that the world will know that we are one and that God's Spirit always goes with us to all the world. Amen.